Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness, and we thank you that our sojourn through this place is just passing through, but prepare our hearts for that eternity with you. In the meantime, Lord, may we be active in the areas you would have us to tell others about you, about your great love, and Lord, that we would be very thankful for the grace and the mercy that you show to us. And so lead us and guide us. We thank you for the power of prayer. We thank you for how you give that to each one of us. No one is without it. And Lord, I pray we would use that power this morning as we bow our hearts in one accord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, turn again today to Genesis chapter 18. We're going to look at just the last verse 33, and then again in chapter 19, verse 29. Now, we've been, it's been a while, I guess, but we've been a couple of times in this prayer, such as because it's such a great intercessory prayer, where God makes known his plan to Abraham, I should say. He's now got a ha in his name, the Ruach. He makes known his plan to Abram that he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And so now we see Abraham interceding for Sodom, and you know that his heart was that of the Lord's to pray for mercy, that not the whole city would be destroyed, and should the just be killed with the unjust, and so forth. And he, of course, went through that negotiation down to, if 10 people were found in the city, would it be destroyed? And God said, no, I will not destroy it for 10. Now notice the next verse, verse 33. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking. Notice prayer begins with God and it ends with God. It's all about God. It's not about us. And we see here, some people say, well, Abraham should have kept going. He should have kept going down to 5. The Lord ended the prayer. As soon as it was said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10, the Lord went his way as he had finished speaking with Abraham. So, case closed, really. The purpose of the prayer has been realized, and the prayer is now over. And so, what I want to look at today just a little bit is, in addition to prayer beginning with God and not with man, and ending with God and not with man, then asking you, if in your prayer life do you sense being in a partnership with God? Because I think that's what we have here, is God enlisting us into partnership with him to pray for his purposes to be accomplished. And our part is to have our hearts aligned with his, is it not? So the second aspect of that, does your prayer life enable you to have or to appropriate the character of God? Can you see God's character entering into your heart as you pray and through your prayer life? Because I think we see this here in Abraham in this account. And then finally, do you think that your prayers can have an effect on the timing of God? I don't believe that our prayers change the mind of God. I think he's going to do what he's going to do. But I think our prayers can have an effect on timing. You remember with the impact of Jonah and Jonah praying for Nineveh, how God destroyed the city eventually, but he put it off for about 100 years because of Jonah's faithfulness in praying. And we know Hezekiah prayed and his life was extended 15 years, and not that that's necessarily was a good thing, I don't think, but nevertheless, we see the timing of God changed by that prayer. So as we look at this today, the Lord went on his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Would you give him a program, please, or a thing? We're in Genesis chapter 18, finishing the intercessory prayer, and in the last verse, after Abraham had the Lord agree that he wouldn't destroy Sodom if there were 10 people, we read that the prayer is ended as the Lord went his way as soon as the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. So we see here the purpose of Abraham's prayer is accomplished. God is really always open to mercy. He's always open to mercy on our behalf. If we show any degree of repentance, if we show any degree of asking for forgiveness, God always forgives us. He's a merciful God, isn't he? And that's what prayer is. We should be praying for our leaders. We should be praying for our nation. We should be praying for those in authority, for his mercy. Yes, we deserve his wrath, and his wrath is going to be poured out on a Christ-rejecting world. We know that. All you have to do is read the book of Revelation, chapters 6 through 19, and you see that happening. And no country is going to be escaping that. So this country is going down along with all the other countries, and we see it happening right now, don't we? We just keep turning our back against the Lord in such an amazing, accelerated fashion, far beyond, it seems to me, any logical way, because why do we want God out of everything? That can't be because of a logical way, but it has to be the same as the rebellious hearts of man all through history, always wanting God out of their lives. They want to do what they want to do. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I have my rights, and I'm going to do what I want to do. And last of all, I don't want a God telling me what to do. I'll do my own thing, right? So that's what we have. But we see here then that there is, the first thing I want to just focus on in passing is the partnership with God that I think prayer enables us to enter into, and that is to get his heart, to get a sense of his heart. What is his heart? And when we sense God's heart, we want to pray that our heart would have that same degree of love, that same degree of mercy, that same want. God wants none to perish, but all to come to repentance. Do you, do I have that desire in my heart, really that strong desire of God that he wants none to be lost? Do I look at lost people and am I just repulsed by them and there's no hope for that guy, I don't even want to be around him. Last of all, I don't want to talk to him about the Lord. You know, do you have that feeling? I think that happens to all of us to a degree. But prayer makes possible the joy of partnership, and we can pray for those areas in our life to change our heart, to have the heart of God. And then second, it enables us, as I mentioned, to have the character of God become more of us. It's, in other words, we become more like Christ when we pray to him and when we pray in his name. And when we're asking to have the heart of God, we begin to get the character of God, don't we? We begin to have that compassion in our heart, that mercy in our heart. And that's what prayer does here. Philippians 4:6, of course, you know, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And then what is the result of that? The peace of God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will what? Guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. So that is the benefit, in a sense, one of the many benefits, but a big benefit in praying, that we have that peace of God, then, which surpasses all human understanding, guarding our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, following your prayer for understanding and for humility does not change the world you're in. You're going to find your enemies just as vicious. You're going to find the problems just as, they don't go away. But may our heart look at them differently. May our heart look at them as God looks at them. And then finally, as we see the result in this particular case of Abram's prayer, we have to go to the next chapter, to verse 29, and we read, "And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham." Rest assured that any prayer in Jesus' name that's in accordance with the will of God, God will remember it. It may not be instantaneously, it may be later. This is later. As it said, it came to pass, God remembered Abraham, and he sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities which Lot had dwelt. Now, Abraham never mentioned Lot by name in his prayer, did he? He just mentions righteous people. But God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out. Prayer focuses God. power of God, it would seem, on places and people. So I think it's good to pray for people by name. Although Abraham didn't hear, he was just praying for the righteous and for the righteous to be delivered from that city. Last principle, prayer affects the timing of God. As I mentioned, it doesn't change or alter or the will or purpose of God, but it does defer his judgment. It can defer his judgment. It can also speed up blessing. You know that we are told to pray for the kingdom of God to be established here on earth, aren't we? We're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, which is the same thing, is it not? There will be no peace in Jerusalem until Christ returns. So we're to pray for that. And as we read in 2 Peter 3:9, we have a statement there about the Lord. He's not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So there's that heart of God again for the lost. And then the next verse says what? Therefore, since all these things, or verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, in other words, this world is going to be dissolved, then what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? What? Looking for, and now notice this, hastening the coming of the day of the Lord. Apparently, our prayers can hasten the coming of the day of the Lord, because that's what it says, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heaven will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will be melted with fervent heat. God is going to come right on time, and I don't know how our prayers would hasten that, but if our prayers cause others to come to the Lord, and if there indeed is a number out there somewhere that when that's fulfilled, the Lord will return, I guess if we are helping that number to be increased. But anyway, it says we can hasten the coming of the day of the Lord. So our prayers can impact the timing of the Lord, it would seem. So great lessons in prayer and this intercessory prayer. It's not a means where we dictate to the Lord or tell him what to do, but rather it's our coming into partnership with him, aligning our heart with his heart, and then praying for his will to begin. So if your prayer life is enabling you to sense that joy, that partnership with God, that's a good thing, and it should. If it enables you to appropriate the character of God in your life, in your heart, that is a good thing, and it should. And then finally, may our prayer life impact the timing of God to accomplish what he wants accomplished right on his time schedule. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this great intercessory prayer of Abraham and the lessons it shows to us. And Lord, we're here to pray. We're here to intercede. We're here to, in effect, use this weapon of prayer that you have given us. And may we employ it today in one accord as we pray individual voices, but yet led by your Spirit and just really in one accord. And so, Lord, guide us now and lead us in this time of prayer. We ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.